Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.
Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about...
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about...
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Anna and the Apocalypse?
You have effectively shown me my third favorite zombie movie after Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland.
Ah! All right. Well, that's pretty high praise.
And I think it's the second movie on that three list that you've shown me.
Wow.
So your average is pretty good with zombie movies.
Good on me. All right. So for those of you who are listening in, willkommen. This is You Want Me to Watch What? A podcast of overlooked movies and the limits of friendship. Justin and I have been friends now for over a decade, and between the two of us, we have seen thousands of movies. And this podcast is about the movies that just one of us missed. So this month, I wanted Justin to watch the 2017 classic, Anna and the Apocalypse, a Christmas-themed zombie musical.
A British Christmas-themed zombie musical.
So settle in. In Scotland, Anna is about to finish school and plans to travel for a year before attending uni, to the surprise and dismay of her father, Tony. Her friends are all dealing with their issues. John, her best friend and an artist, is secretly in love with her, has the worst poker face of anyone I've ever seen in any movie ever. Chris, a budding filmmaker struggling with a class assignment, Steph, a transfer student trying to get her social justice reporting past the tyrannical vice principal, Mr. Savage, and Nick, Anna's one-night stand, making her life just a little bit difficult. On the night of the school Christmas show, in which Chris's girlfriend Lisa is performing the standout song It's That Time of Year, good granny, the song is dirty.
So good.
It's dirty, and it's funny, and by golly, just find the soundtrack for that one. Anna and John are working in the bowling alley, and then they bond over her post-graduation plans. Chris and Steph have gone to the homeless shelter because Steph is trying to write this story. And while those three things are all going on, a zombie infection starts spreading. Nothing odd about that. Everybody goes home or supposedly gets home safely. The next morning, Anna and John, you remember that scene when the zombie apocalypse happens in Shaun of the Dead, where Shaun like walks down to the shop, gets his thing, leaves the coins on the counter, walks back, and you just see all the stuff happening around.
Uh-huh.
That's what's happening here. Anna and John sing their way to school completely oblivious to the zombie chaos around them. And it's not like little bits. It's not like people just staggering down the streets. This is like people getting necks ripped out. This is... It's bloody, gory mess, is what it is. And when they eventually encounter a zombie that addresses them directly, as opposed to just happening around them, Anna decapitates it with a seesaw, or a teeter-totter, and seems strangely okay with it.
Yeah, it's Scotland.
I suppose. Cut to the school. A bunch of the adults, Chris's grandmother, Mr. Savage, Tony, and Lisa, are taking refuge. Apparently, they did not escape safely to their homes. They escaped safely to just outside the theater. And Tony, Anna's dad, and Mr. Savage, they're arguing about whether to save the other survivors outside or just lock the doors. Mr. Savage wins by saying that the military has broadcast that rescue's coming tomorrow. let's say it all together. Rescue's coming tomorrow. Anna and John figure that it's too dangerous to go home or go to school, having fought their first zombie, so they go to the bowling alley because, well, it's 2017 and people don't use those. They meet Steph and Chris, who've taken shelter there, and Steph finds out that an army evacuation's coming. So they're just going to head out to the school tomorrow when it's safe. They find, you know, the zombified cleaner. They fight off, you know, some zombified bowlers. It's a bloody good time. The next morning, Anna, Steph, John, and Chris, they wake up and find that the army has been zombified. Because nobody saw that coming.
Nope.
Regardless, time to go to the school to see if their loved ones are still alive. Ding. So, we had one extra character that we mentioned at that beginning. Nick, the one-night stand.
Mm-hmm.
Nick is greatly enjoying the carnage. He and his friends rescue our hero group from a horde of zombies, and then join them on the way to school, having also sang a quite fun song. Because everything is accompanied by a song and a musical. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Anna tells John that she plans to go traveling despite the zombie outbreak, and she also notes to him that you are my best friend. Implying she knows because his poker face is shit and does not reciprocate his feelings.
Nope.
This gets to happen right before they get ambushed by a bunch of zombies in a Christmas tree emporium. Remember, Christmas movie.
Yep.
Happy Christmas, y'all. They're ambushed by zombies. The zombies kill Nick's friends. They escape, and John gets bitten. He gets Anna to safety, but sacrifices himself further. The survivors reach the school, where Savage has let the zombies in as a last-ditch measure of control. Because villains got a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Anna and Nick split off to search for Dad. Steph and Chris look for his family and Steph's car keys. Nick gets to reveal some pathos that his father asked Nick to kill him after he was bitten. And Steph, Chris, and they find Lisa, find the car keys in Savage's office, but Chris and Lisa are bitten while trying to escape. So we've now lost half of our hero group.
Mm-hmm.
Anna finds Savage in the auditorium using Dad as bait for the zombies. And so we have a sing-off, hero and villain. She rescues Tony. Tony lashes out and beats up Savage. Savage falls to the zombies, but Dad gets bitten in the scuffle. Anna says goodbye to her dad as Nick arrives, and the two of them leave the school where they are preparing for one last stand before Steph rescues them in her car, and Anna finally gets to leave and go traveling. Looking for a safer place, I guess.
Yep.
First impressions. Go.
First impressions. It started off kind of slow. And I think it was the second musical number in the cafeteria that I was hedging on. Oh my God, Chad, what did you get me into? But then the next musical number was the following morning where they're all just kind of oblivious to the zombie apocalypse. And I'm like, okay, you got me. I'm hooked. Let's go.
Yeah, that scene is really well done. I don't know how many times would you have had to have done a retake to not laugh in the middle of doing that?
Well, I mean, if everything's happening behind you.
Maybe.
You learn your choreography and put your hood up and your headphones on and you just sing your little heart out.
I suppose. So,
but for me personally, probably about 10.
Yeah. For the cast, the acting's solid. I mean, it's British and it's got a very dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast is really good at it. And that's especially considering watching this. This is a very American style musical movie with a British cast. You know, very much kind of an over the top American sensibility of style, even as the cast, the script, the cinematography, you know, a lot of those things they're very distinctly British.
Yes.
You know, and then you look at what the story is doing and what the actors are doing and how they're kind of going. It's like, I'm seeing a whole lot of Yankee in this.
It's like Shaun of the Dead meets High School Musical.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Music is nice. It's not going to wow too many people, but it's well performed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some legitimate good songs in there. I mean, I'm there for it. The dancing, though. The dancing.
Yeah.
That's a low spot for me.
It's a thing that happens in the movie.
Sort of. The dancing looks like it was choreographed by someone who once saw a musical and thought, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
The style is just a bit too dated for a movie that was made in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like something that would have been very much in vogue in the 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe the 80s. You know, definitely 90s vibe, though.
Yeah.
I looked it up just because I was curious. I'm like, am I about to criticize somebody who's made a career of doing this? No. This is the second of two movies that she's choreographed. The first one was a short called Listen Up, Emily, about a girl who leaves her fiancé at the altar, travels back to the 1950s, and then has second thoughts and tries to get back before leaving him at the altar again, because apparently one of the old guys is the guy she met in the 50s. It's weird.
Okay.
It's like 20 minutes on Vimeo if you're interested. Yeah. It's not bad. It's very, that 1950s style of dancing and so forth is evident in this movie set in modern. Mr. Savage is a lovely over-the-top villain. I love that in a movie with zombies, how many movies manage to say, you know what, we need a different villain. It's not enough to have just this, you know, overwhelming horde of, you know, walking dead. We've got to have something else.
For every horde of zombie, there's always one prick.
I suppose that's true. So talk to me a little bit more. You know, the music we said nice, the dancing,
yeah.
You know, we kind of glossed over the villain. What was a standout moment for you outside of that walk to the school?
Well, the first time I saw it happened right after that, but it comes into play a couple of times, is their take on the zombie lore where the head is still, quote, alive after it's decapitated, because there's a scene of just this zombie head just
Klimt ballooning all over the place, huh?
Yeah. But not attached to anything. I'm like, that's interesting. Okay, I like that. I will never understand how, and in any zombie movie, how they pick and choose who they're going to just bite and move on from, or completely eviscerate and turn into, you know, zombie chow. Because a couple of the heroes just get bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Mr. Savage, who gets completely torn to shreds. Now, from a plot standpoint, you want that to happen to him. But it seems to happen in a lot of zombie movies where you have just one or two characters who just get bitten rather than completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's what happened to all of our protagonists. And so it's just, and that's not a critique of the movie in general. It's just one of those, moments when watching any zombie movie.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Army of the Dead, The Dave Bautista movie. I record a podcast, you know.
Yeah.
On the other one. Where very much, you know, it's like the storytellers, they have to make a decision who is being followed and who gets to have the gruesome death. When it's an earned gruesome death, it's kind of satisfying.
Yeah,
when it's unearned, it's comes across as mean.
Yeah.
See the assistant's death in Jurassic World, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
The one where she gets, like, caught up by the pteranodons or pterodactyls, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's an over-the-top, horrible death for somebody who's just... For the other, see the lawyer in Jurassic Park.
Yes.
You know?
That was a well-earned, gruesome death. Like,
see, that's great. Anyway. Kind of falling down to the point here. The plot is predictable, but so is literally every Hallmark movie that's been made. And I still enjoy a lot of them. You're not there for stunning twists and so forth. What you're there for is to see a story well told.
Big city girl meets hometown zombie. They fall in love. He bites her, you know.
I think that was called Warm Bodies.
Oh my god.
Except that he doesn't bite her, but she does, like, she unzombifies him.
Are you kidding me? This is a thing?
There was a movie. It was a zombie movie where, like, zombies are used for, like they're not all crazy, you know, flesh eaters.
Uh-huh.
Like not until they like rot down to almost their bones.
Oh,
you know? And so it's a guy that he's a zombie and he eats the brains of a dude. And when he does that, he gets like flashes of that guy's memories of that guy's girlfriend. And so the zombie starts falling in love with the girlfriend. They start hanging out and eventually her love for him restarts his heart. He becomes a not zombie. I don't think it was Hallmark, but it definitely, you know, Hallmark ending.
Chad, I was joking.
So, all right. Note to self, Warm Bodies needs to go on the list.
Oh my God.
Oh, you'll hate it, too.
Oh, like, I'm sure like I this will.
This isn't a good paranormal romantic zombie comedy. You know, I don't care that it's
that's
got
that's a shame
Jonathan
because that's
Levine.
My favorite genre of movie.
I know. You know, it based on Romeo and Juliet, you know, it the most. Yeah. By all means.
Oh.
Yeah, the tagline for it was, he's still dead, but he's getting warmer. So, anyway, I'm going to say it's a see it, even if it's just once. Better with friends, but still worth watching.
I totally agree, yes.
And once you've seen it once, it's a laundry movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, that's all we've got to say about it. I think it means it's your turn next, right?
Yes, and in the spirit of the season, I have something festive.
All right, cool.